The Word of God provides principles and lessons that are relevant to our daily living. Join Reverend I.T. Madura as he does an exposition of the book of Hebrews and explores lessons you can practically apply. May you be transformed by the Word of God as you study it.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to an exposition of the book of Hebrews. What a blessing and what a joy it is to connect with you again today. We are on lesson number 2, and today we are going to cover the superiority of Jesus Christ above prophets and angels. So get out your Bible, get out your notebook. We are going to dig into chapter 1, which is the first chapter of the book or letter of Hebrews. We covered an overview yesterday when we looked at the whole book of Hebrews, and I gave you some key principles that we're going to use as we dig and study the book of Hebrews. And I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, and it is going to transform your life, and you'll be empowered in divine things through the Word of God. Now I'll do an overview of the book of Hebrews chapter 1 first, then we'll look at the verses there. Then at the end I'm going to give you 5 lessons that we get out of this chapter, and those lessons will be practical and powerful lessons that will be a blessing to you. Now verse 1 to 2 says, God at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed a heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So in verse 1, the writer of Hebrews, a unique writer, because he doesn't even introduce himself. Most of the letters in the New Testament, the author gives his name, Apostle so and so, greetings to you, grace and mercy be multiplied. But he just begins by God. God, who at various times, I think it is one of the few books that begins with God. Theos, Elohim, God in various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers and to the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So he introduces God as God who speaks and who has been speaking over the generations and has been speaking over the years, but has spoken through Jesus Christ in the last days, who has been appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. It almost takes me back to John chapter 1, which says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without him, for with him was all things made. So we see that he who is the Son, who has been made all heir of all things, and through whom all things have been made. So creation has been made through Jesus Christ. Now verse 3 to 4, the writer then begins to continue to show the glory of Christ, and to show that he is more than a person, and he is God himself, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. Something that is bright speaks of the beauty, the glory, and the express image of his person. Whose image? The image of God. He is the express. He is not just a copy. He is God himself, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself paid our sins, set down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, as he has an inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. So he has obtained a better inheritance, a better name than angels. You know that in the book of Philippians chapter 2, he says, now he was given a name that is above all other names. At the mention of that name, Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord and he is the King of Kings. Now the writer continues in verse 5. Then he begins to show us the difference between the Son and angels. So he begins to quote from the Old Testament, specifically from Psalms, and he says in verse 5, to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my Son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be a son. One of the key offices of Jesus Christ, beyond just being a prophet, an apostle, a teacher, a miracle worker, a pastor, because he's a shepherd, he says, he is the great shepherd, he is the shepherd of the flock. Also a soul winner is an evangelist. He says, I come to seek and save that which is lost. His greater and higher calling was to be the Son and the Son of God. And here the verse says, which of the angels, as he said, you are my son. You remember when Jesus was being baptized, Luke chapter 3, as he was being baptized, the Bible says the heavens opened while he was praying, and a voice was heard in heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in him I am well pleased. Hear him, my beloved son, in him I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, again, you hear the voice that comes when Jesus is transfigured in front of his disciples, and Elijah and Moses appear. Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets. But there was no glory on Moses. There was no glory on Elijah the prophets. The glory was on Jesus Christ. It is he that was transfigured. That is where the writer of Hebrews is saying he is the same, the brightness of his glory, the express image of God. So the brightness of his glory, he was transfigured, and he says his glory was brighter than even of the sun. So, and the voice was heard again saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. The sonship of Christ, the sonship of Christ is very important. It is what distinguishes him from the angels, separates him from the prophets and the law, because he is the Son of God, the begotten one. He says, today I have begotten you. And the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son. He shall be to me a son. So Jesus is the Son of God. Now the writer continues in verse 6 and 7 to show the difference between the Son and the other angels. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all angels of God worship him. In verse 7, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So angels worship Jesus. So you see that which is worshipped, he that is worshipped, is greater than those that worship him. So angels are subject to Jesus. When you read the book of Revelation, you see that the angels in heaven, multitudes upon multitudes, they bow down and they worship the Lamb. They worship Jesus Christ because he's worthy to be worshipped. Verse 8 to 9, he continues to show the supremacy of Christ above the angels as the Son of God. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So your throne, O God, speaking of Jesus, he is addressed as God because Christ is God. So we see in this first chapter that the writer begins to show that Christ is just more than any supernatural being, like an angelic being. He's also even superior to the prophets. So you see that in the first verse where we read, it says, and God has spoke in various times and in various ways to us by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken by his son. So you see that Christ, the last one to speak, he has a higher authority above the prophets, even above the angels. So the words of Christ are above prophets, are above even angelic words that have been spoken. And he continues with his argument, and in verse 10 and 12 he says, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. This is talking of Jesus Christ, showing that he is from everlasting unto everlasting. As the earth wastes away, he himself remains the same. Then verse 14, 13 to 14, but to which of the angels has he ever said? Now the writer is questioning, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? So he asks a question, who of the angels, even the archangels, have not this privilege? Michael and even Gabriel, to be called the sons of God, to sit at his right hand. It is Jesus, after he had done the work of the cross and overcame the grave, overcame sin and death, that he was seated in a position of authority, in a position of equality at the right hand. The right hand doesn't necessarily mean that God is the right hand. It means a place of authority, but also a place of equality on the right. So you sit in a place of power and authority, but also in a place of equality where he is God and he reigns forevermore. Now, there are five lessons that we can draw out of chapter number one of the book of Hebrews. Lesson number one, God uses various ways to speak to us. Hebrews 11 verse 1, God who has in various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. I want you to understand that God is always speaking, and God is a God who speaks, and he uses various ways. Prophetic words, dreams, visions, promptings of the Spirit, witness in your spirit, small still voice. God is always intending to send out a message, and he uses various ways, and a number of them are not spectacular. It's not like a voice from a burning bush as it was with Moses. Those are rare spectacular moments, but most of the times it is an inward voice that God is using to speak to us. Are we attentive to that voice? The Bible says they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. Romans 8 and verse number 14. How are we led of the Spirit unless we can hear the voice of the Spirit? And who is the Spirit? The Spirit is God. So God speaks through his Spirit. That gentle voice, inward voice, you must be able to listen to it. Lesson number two, God speaks mainly through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So as the writer of Hebrews says, that in these last days, when the last days, he has spoken through his Son. Who is his Son? That's Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the world. Creation was made by him. So, Vazalwan, it's important to understand that the voice of Christ is critical. He has spoken in the message of God in these last days that is superior to the message that came through the prophets, has come through Jesus Christ. It is the word of truth that has been spoken by Jesus Christ, and God speaks through Christ. And who is Christ? Christ is the Word. And where is the Word? We have the Logos Word that is written in the Bible, and that is then stirred up into Rhema by the Spirit of the living God. John 16 verse 13 says, how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, ye shall speak. He will show you things to come. So whatsoever ye shall hear, ye shall speak. It means Jesus says he shall remind you of the things that I spoke. So the Spirit does not speak of his own. He speaks of the words of Christ. Because finally, the final words that have been spoken are the ones that have been spoken by the Son. So the Spirit is there further to confirm the words of Christ. So when we are led by the Spirit, actually we are being led by Jesus Christ, who at the same time is led by God, because they are one. He says, the words that I speak are not my own, but whatever the Father says, I also say. And the Spirit comes and says, he speaks only what the Son says. So we are led in this end day by the word of Christ, the word that has been spoken by the Son. The third lesson, Jesus is the Son of God and he is God. It is very important, Vazalwan, that we understand that. Now, there are people who say Jesus was a prophet. There's a religion that compares Jesus to one of their prophets and says Jesus was also one of the prophets, but just a lesser prophet. That is not correct. That is heresy. And there are some that take Jesus as a good teacher, someone who taught good principles to live by and things like that. Now, Jesus was a good teacher. Yes, he was a prophet. Yes, but he was more than that. He was the Son of God. That is the office he carried, the Son of God. The voice came and said, this is my Son. You hear him, hear him. And he was God himself. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God. He is part of the Godhead. He is part of the Trinity. He is seated at the right hand, a place of equality. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. He has made by him, he had by himself paid our sins and sat at the right hand of majesty on high. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the express image of God. He is God. He is God. So it is important that as believers we understand that that is what separates Christianity from any other religion. The founder, who is God, became flesh, Emmanuel, and dwelt amongst us and paid the price on the cross to pay our sins. What great love it was. And he died, went into the grave, went into hell, took the keys of Hades and death, came out in victory on the third day. Now he is seated at the right hand of the Father in majesty, in a place of power, glory, and equality with God. Yes, Jesus is Lord and King of kings. He is God. Lesson number 4, Jesus is superior to the prophets of old. So the words of Christ carry more authority. One of the things that the people said when Jesus spoke during his days on earth was he did not speak like the Pharisees. He spoke as one with authority because he spoke as the Son, the heir of all things. He spoke with authority. He spoke with understanding of who he was. So, Vazalwan, the words of Christ, if you go into the Bible, modern Bibles, you have the words of Jesus in red. They are written in red. Those words are superior to any other words you can find on the face of the earth. Those that were written by prophets, those that were written by teachers, by priests, written by kings, these were inspired words, but they are words that are quoted directly from Christ himself. These are superior words. Now, you see in the New Testament when Jesus came, like in Matthew 5 and verse 43 to 44, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is Jesus. He says, you have heard from the prophets and from the law. This has been said, but I have come with a higher order. I say, he quotes himself, I, and that word I is the word for God. At one point in John, says, I am is here. And that word for I am is the word for Yahweh when God met with Moses. So he says, I say, he declared authority. You have heard this before, but now I come with a new order. I say. So the words of Christ are superior to the words of the law and the words of the prophets. John chapter 1 and verse 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The last lesson, Jesus is superior to angels. There is no question. There is no doubt. Now, you see that Jewish believers, why this the book or the letter of Hebrews addresses these things is because these were Jewish believers. They had reverence for the law. They had reverence for the law. They had reverence for the prophets because God had spoken to them using the prophets, using Moses in the books of the law. So these were, this was scripture. They held it. And until today, Judaism is based on this. They hold dearly the law and the prophets, but they could not understand, as Jesus said, that the law and the prophets spoke about Jesus Christ. They spoke about the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So even angels were also revered by Judaism and Jews and Israel, because God used the angels a number of times to bring messages, and even for Israel to leave Egypt to the promised land, they were guided by an angel, the angel of the Lord. So angels were integrated in the ministry of the Israelites. But here the writer is showing that Christ Jesus is superior to angels, even archangels, even if it's the four living creatures, even if it's cherubim, Jesus is superior. And in the verses that we saw, he quoted from the psalmist, he quoted from the prophet, and he asked, which of his angels has he ever said, you are my son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool? So it is important that you understand that Jesus is above. And John almost made that mistake of wanting to worship an angel, and the angel told him, don't do that. Revelations Revelation chapter 22 and verse 9. Then says he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and brethren to the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So the angel said, don't worship me, I'm a fellow servant with you, together with the prophets and those that keep the sayings of the book of Revelation. Worship God alone. And you see that worship is reserved for God, and Jesus is God. That's why he is worshipped. Revelation 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And when they had said this, the 24 elders fall down, cast their crowns to the ground, and they worship him. The angels also worship him, because he deserves the glory. So even angels worship the King of Kings, for he is worthy to be worshipped. He is Lord and he is God. What powerful lessons that we get from this chapter number one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. What a blessing, revelation, and insight that comes from your word, that we see Jesus Christ superior to the prophets, superior to the angels, who is the brightness of your glory, the express image of you, O God, our Father. We thank you for this insight and this revelation that we have come to the knowledge of Christ. Father, we pray and we worship the one and true living God. We give glory, honor, power, and majesty unto you. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of honor. We worship the King of Kings. We worship the Lamb of God that is seated in the throne, the right hand of the Father. He is worthy of glory. You are worthy of majesty, O King of Kings, Lord Jesus Christ. You are worthy of worship and our praise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We pray that, God, you may continue to reveal Christ to us, that we may know him more, that, God, we may grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we may grow in our knowledge of the word, that we may grow in revelation and in insight, that, God, we may live and apply the word and the wisdom that we receive, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. What a blessing. Thank you so much for tuning in. We continue to lesson number three tomorrow as we look at chapter number two. Why don't you go and read in advance, and we're going to come and do an overview again and draw some lessons from that chapter that are going to be a blessing to your life. May the Lord keep you, and may the Lord watch over you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson. We believe you have been exhorted and equipped. For more Bible lessons, connect and follow Reverend IT Matura on innocentmatura.podbean.com.